Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week one, day three of the study of 2 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Samuel 2, 1 through 7. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading to it or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. You'll be amazed at the difference it makes in your life by studying God's Word and meditating on it and just getting it in you. It makes a huge difference. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say to us today, God. Speak to us. Give us revelation from your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. So this is an interesting moment. We don't know how long David waited. It doesn't tell us, but the implication is it was relatively quickly after the death of Saul. Probably not years, maybe weeks, months. At some point, there's some passage of time, but we don't know exactly how much. But David decides that it's time for him to return to the land of Israel. He's been living in the land of the Philistines, in Ziklag, and in Ziklag, he asks this question, "Lord, should I go back? Should I go back to somewhere in Judah?" And the Lord says, "Go." And so what I find interesting about this, I think this is fascinating, is I ask the question, how did David inquire of the Lord? I mean, I guess he's praying and asking the Lord, but how did the Lord answer? In what way did the Lord answer? Is this in a dream? Is this a vision? Is he asking through the prophet Gad and the Lord is speaking to the prophet Gad? Is David having kind of a prophetic revelation himself? Is he having this conversation? Is David hearing an audible voice of the Lord? Is David hearing an impression of the Lord? There's so many different ways that this could play out. That David's inquiring of the Lord, is he asking the Lord through casting lots? It's so fascinating to me, and our author doesn't give us the details, the nitty gritty details. He just tells us that David asked and that the Lord replied. He doesn't tell us how he answered. Given David's MO in the past, my assumption is that he is asking Gad the prophet or some other person, prophetic person with him, asking him to speak to the Lord and ask him these questions and then see what the Lord says. Knowing David, David probably already has in mind where he wants to go and that the Lord is maybe confirming this for him, but we just don't know. It's such a fascinating back and forth between David and the Lord. But at any rate, David decides it's time to go back. And they go in and they set up in Hebron. And so this is obviously, a walled city that would accept him, that would have him. He goes in, and then all of the people of Judah, and only Judah, come and anoint David king over the tribe of Judah. But the rest of Israel, from Benjamin and on, the other 11 tribes of Israel, they don't anoint David king. They don't accept David as their king right now. So for a very brief period of time, we're going to have a divided kingdom between the house of David and the house of Saul. Let's continue on. When David was told that it was the men from Jabesh-Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to them to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul your master is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed me king over them." So here is an act of diplomacy on David's part, saying that I've been anointed king. Hey, men of Jabesh-Gilead, I want you to understand, I loved Saul too. Everyone at this point in the nation knows about the rift between David and Saul. They know that Saul was after David. And as is the case very often in these kinds of things, most of Israel probably only knows Saul's side of the argument. They only know what Saul has told them, which is basically a whole bunch of conspiracy theories and mostly lies. Saul is saying, well, David wants the kingdom. David is trying to take the kingdom. And whereas David is definitely going to start moving toward taking the kingdom, it was never his intention to try and assume to the throne. The Lord chose David. The Lord rejected Saul. I mean, he told all of this through Samuel the prophet. And more than likely, most people have at least heard bits and pieces of the story of Samuel the prophet, that the Lord had rejected Saul. But I imagine if you're king, you get to direct a certain amount of the story. You get to tell the history the way you want it. When David fled Israel and was living in the land of the Philistines, and for the years, even before he was in Ziklag, when he was fleeing and running back and forth here and there, I mean, this is something that went on for years. He's fleeing and Saul is chasing him, and David is fleeing to foreign nations, and he's got a whole bunch of undesirable people with him. If you're just an outsider looking at this, you're probably not going to side with David, or you're not going to jump to side with David. David's the one who's running away and hiding on foreign soil while Saul is trying to chase him down and saying that, you know, he is, you know, basically trying to assume the throne. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to start a civil war. He's trying to do all of these things. All of these lies that Saul is spreading are going to look very believable to most of the people in Israel who are just kind of happenstance bystanders. They're not really fully engaged with the story. They don't care. I mean, remember, most people, they're farming. They've got their herds. Life is difficult. It's not like this is the British royal family and there's a bunch of tabloids that everybody can go out and read and find what's the latest scoop on the war between, or the conflict between David and Saul. I mean, that's not how this worked back then. And so if you weren't in the inner circle or fully engaged or really with your ear to the wall trying to hear what's going on, most people only know what they're told, and Saul gets to be the one who tells it because he's got the bully pulpit, because he's in charge at the moment, and he gets to direct the kind of information that people hear. So they all know that David has broken away from Saul and is on the lam. He's running. He's a fugitive. That's what they think of David. That's what most of Israel thinks of David. And it's going to take some time for David to convince them otherwise, because David, and here's the important thing, is David at any point in this history could have stood up and said, listen, none of it's true. None of it's true. Saul's the one at fault here. Saul's the one doing this. He could have been, you know, trying to combat this. He could have been trying to wage a PR war with Saul, trying to convince everyone that he wasn't the one in the wrong, that Saul was the one in the wrong. But David never did that. David wouldn't lift a finger against Saul, and he wouldn't say a word against Saul. He only honored Saul in front of everyone. He only pledged his allegiance and his love to Saul. But one of the issues that that's going to create now is that everyone is still loyal to Saul's family. Israel is loyal to Saul's family. And we see that Ish-bosheth, the one surviving son of Saul, is king over Israel. But and everyone wants to be loyal to him. No one wants to switch their loyalty from the house of Saul to the house of David. Now, more than likely, many people, and most of the people that we've encountered in the story so far of David, has heard of, you know, Samuel's prophecy or anointing of David as king. Most people know that the Lord has rejected Saul. They know that that the Lord's chosen David. But again, what matters more, that one little story you heard about David or the ongoing years of Saul telling everyone that David is a rebel and a liar and a cheater, and he's trying to take the country and he's trying to split it apart for himself, and he's run, he's not even in the country anymore, he didn't care about you. You know, what's going to weigh more, the constant barrage of information you've heard from Saul or that one little story you heard years ago about Samuel anointing David? Right now, what's taking precedent is the recent history, you know, the what have you done for me lately? And nobody has seen much of David. in several years. No one outside of Judah. Now remember, David in recent years has been attacking people like the Amalekites and all of these people who are attacking the tribe of Judah. Most of these foreigners that David was going and killing and stealing all their stuff and then sending it to the people of Judah, they were only the foreigners who were attacking and sending raiding parties into the land of Judah. So the people of Judah, they're very familiar with what David has done for them in recent years. I mean, he's been trying to buy their favor for some time now. But the rest of Israel is either completely unknowledgeable of what David's doing or completely ambivalent. And so David starts with Judah. He goes into his own tribe, his own people of Judah, and they anoint him king. But the rest of Israel, even though they remember that story from years past about Samuel anointing David and saying that the Lord had rejected Saul, the thing that's most recent in their mind is that David's been gone. Saul has spread lies about him, and they're going to go with that. And so they are going to remain loyal to the house of Saul and not switch over to the house of David for the foreseeable future. And that is going to bring up a long Cold War type conflict. There's not going to be a whole lot of outright battles or war between David and Saul's house, but there is going to be somewhat of a Cold War with minor skirmishes here and there between David's house and Saul's house. And that's what we're going to look at the next time we get into this. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. And as always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways you can let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.